Hello again from Holden Village. Today is June 16th, the year 2000. And in the fireside room this morning, Andy Gordon wraps up his week's sessions on technology and progress, the promise and the peril. And today's...
I think that's what happens throughout this village. But tonight we have a special treat with Ted Hutchinson, a storyteller and singer from the Tacoma, Washington area. He will be presenting a program called Songs and Stories to Reconcile By, and I'll let him tell you more about that. But I'd like to tell you a little bit about Ted. Ted was from New York a long time ago. He was born there. He said, to make sure that I told you a long time ago. And he's been telling stories and singing songs for a very long time, singing them and singing songs and sharing stories in hospitals, in churches, with children and adults alike. And that's what he will be doing here tonight. With his wife, Marion, they travel throughout the country sharing these stories and these songs. And Marion also serves as his manager. Thank you to Marion for all the behind-the-scenes work. And Ted lived at Holden Village for a number of months a few years ago, and also has continued to come back year after year to visit this wonderful mountain valley. And for a period of time, he served as the director of multicultural ministries for the Region 1 Synod. And now we're in for a great treat. I'd like you to give a round of applause for Ted Hutchinson.
Yeah, take a handshake. Or a hug. Both of them. Well, thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here. I don't know if I'm going to stay in front of this mic all the time. I feel restricted by a mic. But so if I move away, I hope that you can still hear me. But if you can't, please let me know, okay?
Yeah.
Say okay.
Okay.
That's good. Okay. First of all, we have to leave this place. I'm going to put it over here and see what happens. We have to leave this place. How does that sound? We want to leave Holden Village. This program is a program of taking you back to Africa on a great big 747. I will be your pilot. Don't laugh. It's going to be an interesting flight. We're going to walk through the jungle, come to an African village, stay there for a while, get captured, be brought back to the New World on a slave ship. Won't that be fun? So first of all, let us leave this place. I want everybody, close your eyes real tight, and pretend that you're on a 747 aircraft. I am the pilot. The aircraft is lifting up, and we reach altitude, and now we're flying across our great and wonderful country called the United States of America. And soon, sooner than we realize, we're over the Atlantic Ocean, and we're going, and soon, sooner than that even, we're over the continent of Africa. Africa is a continent, not a country, with at least 48 countries in it. The airplane goes down, and soon, we hear the wheels touch the ground. Everybody open your eyes, please. We are now on the ground, and we're going to walk through the jungles of Africa because I want you to come to my village, my make-believe village. And as we're going through the jungles, we have to be very careful. We're going to pass by gorillas and monkeys and alligators and all kinds of things, lions. In fact, as we walk through the jungle, I will protect you. This is a war club. It has a face on both sides. It sees from side to side, forwards and backwards, and around and around. If anything tries to disturb you, I will use this club. It's very hard for it. And I will protect you. So we've been walking through the forest all day long. The sun is very hot. We'd love to get a drink of water. We'd love to stop soon. And soon, we see the village I want you to come to. And you hear the drums going, and the drums are going. And you also hear a group of people beginning to put away all the animals that they take care of. They put away all of the fruits and vegetables that they've harvested because they're expecting you to come and sit in a circle just like you're sitting now. And the first words you hear are, Jambo, which means hello. Jambo, say that.
Jambo.
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 And they say hello to you, and they invite you into the village. You're now in the village, and you're going to meet the old man of the village. That's me, and I am the storyteller. The storyteller in the village does several things. He is the keeper of the village history, because there is no written history, there's an oral history. He remembers the history. He knows who was born, who died. He puts all the newborn baby girls, a pebble for them, I mean, into a bag for the girls, and for the boys, a bag for the boys. And when they get to be adults, they put all the pebbles for those two groups into the community bag, and he knows how many they are. There are three people in the village that know the population of the village. That would be the storyteller, the chief of the village, and the chief's wife. Only three people. And the storyteller is also an emissary and businessman for the chief. The thing about that is, it's very dangerous, because as he goes to another village to do business for the chief sends one of his wives. He has several wives. And that wife will listen to what the storyteller says. And when he comes back to the chief after his negotiations, he tells the chief what happened. He must hope, and if he prays, to pray that the wife says the same thing. Otherwise, he's in very deep trouble. She is, in a sense, the CIA for the chief. Well, we are in the village, and the storyteller loves to tell stories. How many people like stories? Oh, that's wonderful, hands down. Once upon a time, there was a hunter, and he was walking through the forest on a bright, sunshiny day, and he heard a strange noise, and it went something like this. Yeah, 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 say that. Yeah, 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 say that. So what a strange sound. It's not only strange, but it's also very ugly. I've got to find out what that sound is. He continued to walk through the forest, and he heard that sound again. Yeah, 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 yeah. He continued to walk, he walked and he walked and he walked, and soon he looked up into a tree and he saw a beautiful golden bird. He said to the bird, "You are so beautiful, why do you sing such an ugly song?" The bird looked down and said, "Yeah, yeah, 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 yeah." He said, "If you don't stop singing that song, I'm going to take my war club, throw it into that tree and knock you out of the tree." Yeah, 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 yeah. The hunter became so angry, he took his war club, he swung it back and forth a couple of times, and then he threw it into the trees, and it went flying through the trees, and it missed the bird completely. The bird almost left. Now the hunter was really, really angry. He retrieved his club, he picked it up, and he swung it a few more times. He got a good, good beat on that bird, and he took that club and he threw it. It went flying through the trees, and it hit the bird right in the chest. Oh! And it knocked that bird out of the tree. The hunter had a bag. As the bird fell out of the tree, he fell into the bag. Bloop! The hunter closed up the bag. He put it into his belt, and he started walking back to his village. And from inside the bag, you could hear, "Nyeh, nyeh, 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 nyeh." I am so tired of listening to that bird. When I get back to my village, I'm going to take that bird out of the bag, put it onto the chopping block, pull off all the feathers, and chop it up into 100 pieces and put it into a pot of boiling hot water. When he got back to the village, he did exactly this. He put the bird on the chopping block. He pulled off all the feathers one at a time. And he pulled off the feathers. The bird said, I hate to tell you this, my friend, but then the hunter chopped the bird into 100 pieces. And he threw all the pieces into a big pot of boiling hot water. And the water was bubbling and bubbling and bubbling. And then the hunter went off and did some work for the chief. And when he came back, he looked into the pot, and this is what he heard. I am so tired of that bird, I'm going to pour off all the water, take all the parts, put the parts into a box, take it onto the woods, find something like a shovel, and dig a deep hole and bury it. And that's what he did. He took all the parts, after pour the water off, went to the woods, found something like a shovel, and he dug a deep hole. And in the hole, he put the box with all the chicken parts in it, all the bird parts in it, and he covered it all back. And he started to walk off, and from underground he could hear, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, he was really, really angry. He dug up all the dirt. He took the parts. He found a rock. He put it on top of the box. He found a string, tied it around the box, and then took the box, and he threw it into a deep lake. And it went flying and flying and flying and fell into the lake, bloop, and sank to the bottom. He waited. He waited. And he waited. He heard nothing. He felt very good about himself, so he picked up his club, and he went back to his village. He felt fine. I have to tell you, though, 3 days later, there were some small children playing by that lake. The string had fallen off of the box. The rock fell off the box. The beautiful box floated to the top of the surface. It was bounding about on the surface. The children saw that. They swam out to the box. They opened the box, and out flew 100 golden birds. And they all flew off into the forest. Well, 1 year later, on a bright, sunshiny day, that hunter was again walking through the forest. And as he walked through the forest, he heard a strange sound. Do you have any idea what that sound might have been? Well, how did you know that? He said, "That's impossible. I got rid of that bird a whole year ago. That can't be. I've got to find out what's going on." He walked further into the woods, looked into the trees, and he saw 100 golden birds. And they all looked down at him and said, He said, "But I got rid of you a whole year ago. But now I know what kind of bird you are. You are freedom birds, and you cannot be killed. And my country is fighting for freedom." And the birds all said, And that's the end of that story. This is my staff. On this staff, you will notice there's a lion on the top of it, the king of the jungle. There's a lion on the top, king of the jungle. And down a ways, you'll see a man sitting in a chair. You can make out a man sitting in a chair. That's the chief of my village. Now, if this were his staff, it probably would be all black and overlaid in gold, but I'm just a storyteller, so I just have a brown staff. I'm not that important, but I am important enough. Yes, say yes.
Yes.
Very good audience. And so I love to tell stories. Once upon a time, there was a mama alligator. And there was a little bitty baby alligator. And the mama alligator said, "I'm hungry and I want to eat."
"Oh, mommy, you're always hungry. What do you want to eat?"
"I want to eat a monkey's heart."
"Oh, pooh, that's so terrible."
"I don't care. I want you to go and find me a monkey so I can eat his heart."
"Okay, okay, don't get excited."
And so the little baby alligator, she swam and she swam and she swam up the river until she saw a papa monkey sitting next to the water. She swam up to the papa monkey and said,
"Hello, how are you?"
"Well, I'm fine, baby alligator. How are you? And what are you doing swimming up and down the river? I've been watching all day long."
"I'm looking for a monkey."
"Well, I'm a monkey. I'm a papa monkey."
"I can see that. Do you like bananas?"
"Well, of course I like bananas. I'm a papa monkey, and papa monkeys like bananas."
"Do you want a banana?"
"Well, yes, I want a banana, but I can't swim. And the banana, of course, the water on the other side there on that tree."
"I can help you get a banana."
"Little baby alligator, how can you help me to get a banana?"
"If you climb onto my back, I'll take you across the water, and you can have a banana from the banana tree."
"Do you think I'm foolish? I would climb onto the back of a baby alligator, you'll start across the water, and halfway across the water, you'll duck under the water and try to drown me. Just go away, go away." And the baby alligator said,
"Oh, poo!"
And it swam away. But it swam, and it swam, and it swam. And soon, it saw a mama monkey sitting next to the water. And it swam up to the mama monkey and said, "Hello, how are you?"
"Well, I'm fine, baby alligator. And how are you?" "I'm fine. Do you like bananas?" Well, of course I like bananas. I'm a mama monkey, and mama monkeys like bananas. "Do you want a banana?" "Well, yes, I want a banana, but I can't swim. And the banana across the water on the other side, there, on the trees." "I can help you get a banana." Oh, how can you help me get a banana?" "If you climb onto my back, I'll take you across the water, and you can have a banana from the banana tree." "Excuse me." You are the silliest baby alligator I've ever seen. Do you think I would climb onto your back? You'll start across the water, and halfway across the water, you'll duck under the water and try to drown me. Just go away, go away." And the baby alligator said, "Ow, poo," and it swam away. Soon as it swam and it swam and it swam, it saw a little baby monkey sitting on a rock next to the water. And it swam up to the baby monkey and said, "Hello, how are you?" I'm fine. "And how are you?" "I'm fine. Do you like bananas?" "Well, yes, I like bananas." "Do you want a banana?" "Yes, I want a banana, but I can't swim. And a banana across the water on the other side of the street." "I can help you get a banana." You can help me get a banana? How can you do that?" "If you climb onto my back and you hold on real tight, I'll take you across the water, and you can have all the banana you want." I can't swim. I climb onto your back. I hold on real tight, and you take me across the water, and I can have all the bananas I want." "Yes. I can't swim." "Okay."
And so the baby monkey climbed onto the back of the baby alligator and held on real tight. And they started across the water. And halfway across the water, the baby alligator ducked under the water and tried to drown the baby monkey. And they went down real deep and came up again. "What are you doing? Are you trying to drown me?" "Yes!
Because my mommy wants to eat a monkey's heart, and I'm taking it to my mommy so she can eat it." "Oh no! Oh yes! Oh no! Oh yes! Oh no! Oh yes! Oh no! Oh no! What is it?" I wish you had told me that you would take me to your mommy so she could eat my heart before we came out here." "Yes, yes, yes. Well, I didn't bring my heart with me." "What? You got to have your heart. Your heart is in your body." No. I left my heart on the shore." "You go back and get your, but I can't swim." "You go back and get your, but I can't swim." "Okay. I'll take you back to get your heart. But you remember, when you get your heart, you come and you get back on my back so I can take it to my mommy. Do you understand?" "Okay."
And so the baby monkey held on real tight, and the alligator took him back to the shore. The baby monkey jumped off of his back and got a great big coconut, and he threw it down and hit that alligator right in the nose. Boop. And he began to laugh. "You're just a silly baby alligator. I'm not going to get back on your back, so just go away, go away." And the baby alligator did not get his monkey's heart, and it swam away and said, "Oh, poo." And that's the end of that story. Our story is going to take a turn now. And become sad for a little while, but I want to say this to you before we get there. Your parents and your grandparents did not do this. Your parents and your grandparents did not do this. Your parents and your grandparents did not do this. And for some of us in the room, our parents and our grandparents did not suffer through it. While we were in the village, listening to the storyteller tell stories and having a wonderful time, that village was attacked by some Portuguese in the beginning, some white people in the beginning. And by the way, this is not a guilt trip story. This is simply the rest of the story. This is not a guilt trip story. This is the rest of the story. And as they attacked the village, the whole idea was to steal as many of those people as they could and take them to a new world to make slaves out of them. And when they attacked the village, well, we tried to fight back. Well, I would use my club. Well, they had guns. That wouldn't work against a gun. By the way, I also need to tell you, this program is age appropriate. I'm looking at the number of children in the room, and you have to read between the lines of some of the things I say. Well, they had guns. That wouldn't work for guns, so that didn't help. I tried to use my war club. Well, still, they had guns. We were overpowered. And when they came to capture us, you had black people coming in from other tribes also to capture us. So it was white and blacks coming in to capture us. Well, I tried to throw a spear, but they had guns, so that didn't happen. That didn't help very well. And I may have been dressed very nicely. You see all this nice clothes I have on. I could have been dressed in a beautiful costume. And I want to show you this native dress. What is this? What is this? A native dress.
A native dress.
Good. Okay. It's so beautiful. It can be worn by man or woman. And I want to wear it, and I want to tell you some things about myself that you may not have realized. Now, I want to ask you some questions. I want you to answer in this manner. Yes, that's right. Let's practice that, okay? Yes, that's right. I love it. Okay. Now, isn't this beautiful?
Yes, that's right.
Wonderful. And you can see that I'm very tall.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. I want all the action now. I want the action. Give me the action. And you can see that my face is brown.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And the most important part, be ready for this. I want a real loud one on this one. I am very, very handsome.
Yes, that's right.
Everybody applaud. Not only am I tall, dark, and handsome, but I can play a couple of musical instruments. This is called a tongue drum, looks like tongues, or a slit drum, looks like slits. Could be used for a small group like this, maybe to announce a wedding. Sounds something like this. Especially a block of wood, that's all it is. Or if I want to send a message a long distance, I would use a djembe. Say djembe.
Djembe.
It is spelled D-J-E-M-B-E with D sound. D-J-E-M-B-E. D sound. It sounds something like this. Now, they wouldn't let us to play that or things like cowbells, any kind of instrument, because we could send a signal to another community that we're being invaded. I told you that I was tall, dark, and handsome. They didn't want me to look like that. They would take away all the jewelry that I would wear to make me look very common, to depreciate my being, to degrade me. Then they would tie ropes around my neck, around my legs. And there were captured as many people in my village. We tried to fight back. We were overwhelmed. Then we'd be put into a holding pit until they captured many more people. Our person could have been out picking berries. They would have been suddenly captured, disappeared from the family, put into that pit. The languages were mixed up, and they would have a hard time trying to escape, even though they tried. They put them in the pit, and then they would march them as they captured them hundreds of miles through the jungle to a holding castle or a slave castle. Then they would hold them in the castle until the ship came in from the New World. Actually, the ship came in not from the New World, probably, but down from the northern part of Europe, down to Africa. Pick up the slaves, take them over to the New World. The New World would trade some things and send products back to the Old World. That's called the Middle Passage. It's like a triangle, sort of an odd-looking triangle. The Middle Passage, that the ships came down from Europe, leg one, leg two, from Africa, west coast of Africa, over to the New World, leg two. That's called the Middle Passage. And then from the New World, products back to the Old World. That's called the Middle Passage. What is it called? And the people put onto slips, ships. And when they put onto the ships, I am 6'1.5" tall. I weigh 245 pounds, thereabouts. And I am 6'1.5" tall. Imagine, if you can, on a slave ship. I have to be on a slave ship, laying on my back. The next plank would be about that high above me, and body would be laying there. I could be laying on my side, with many bodies that way, hundreds that way, all around me. Laying in this ship, or I could be chained to the deck. I would be chained in any position, but chained to the deck. As I was laying in these positions, I want you to think of the number of people that could be put in this kind of position. If the captain was a good captain, you don't hear me very well? If the captain was a good captain, a slave ship captain, he might only have 250 bodies on that ship. There were no windows in those ships at that time in the beginning, and so it was very difficult to breathe. So I say a good captain, at least you could get some air. You might even get some food. You had to get some food because you didn't want to die and take to the New World. If the captain didn't care, he would put 400 bodies in that position. Now it's getting very crowded, it's very hard to breathe. You don't begin dying. If the captain didn't give a hoot, he put almost 1,000 bodies into that position. Here is the figure for you. Here is the figure for you. Here is the figure for you. Of the 60 million people stolen from Africa, 40 million died. Of the 60 million people stolen from Africa, 40 million died. There's all kind of numbers. I picked that one. It's sort of in the middle. Some say 100 million, some say less. I picked that one. Check it out. Read your statistics. When I say that people died, this is a very important product. That's not the way to say that. It's very important for those ships to have insurance on them. Because when those people died, the insurance company paid off the difference that was lost. So sometimes people were thrown overboard, they ran out of food and so forth. But the people were very proud when I saw it in the can. Well, the ship went on and on and on. And I can't begin to help you. If I was in a school environment, the kids would be laying on the floor as if they were on a slave ship. I can't get you to lay like that. But try to think of yourself in the most uncomfortable position you can get in. Don't do it here, maybe. But that's what they had to endure. Not for a day, not for a week, not for a month. What about 3 months? What about 60 days and more? 60 days and more of just being crunched together and dying very bad. I say you have to read between the lines for some of this stuff. For the women, the men were put down towards the bottom of the hold. The women were put near the deck where the sailors were. So, as the ship went over, went on and on and on, and people are getting very seasick. They're throwing up on one another, all kind of terrible things. You have to read between the lines. I have a book you can look at later. Anyway, so the ship goes on and on, and one day it runs into a horrendous storm. His ship is being tossed up and down, it's creaking and cracking, and the captain of the ship thinks the ship is going to break apart. He decided, I better pray about this. I better pray to God to save my ship. So he prays to God. Oh God, he says something like this, if you would save my ship, if you would save my crew, if you would save this property that I've stolen from Africa and sell it in the New World, I promise you, I will get out of the slave trade business. The storm dies down. The ship is saved. The crew is saved. The property is saved. And that man eventually gets out of the slave trade business. Along the way, though, he writes one of the world's most famous songs, and we all know it. He writes his song, and we'll all love to sing all kinds of languages. The man's name is John Newton, and he writes, Amazing Grace, how sweet
saves a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
I sing that song, and I often thought to myself, black people love to sing that song. And they sing it a lot slower than we're singing it here. And I was thinking, if they knew that the captain of a slave ship, a white person, wrote that song, would they still sing it? And I said, yes, they would. Only it might sound like this. They think about every word.
Amazing.
Get a little spiritual bounce in there, you know.
Sing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I was lost, but now I'm found. But now I see.
They were singing like that. The ship was sinking. The ship was saved. The crew was saved. And the property that lived through all this terrible experience was saved. And the ship reached the shore. Land ho!
Land ho!
Oh, I see. Land ho!
Land ho!
I'm trying to keep my hand in my pocket so you won't say anything. I remember when I do this, I got you trained. That's great, but that's good. Land ho, and so the ship hit the shore. Those people that came up out of the hole, we cannot even begin to imagine what they must have smelled like, or looked like, or felt like. I know I can't. Much as I read and try to get into what that might be like, I cannot. Well, they had to be cleaned up. So they wash them down. You know, sell them now. Wash them down, they grease them down, make them look real shiny, you might say. So they can look good, as a good product for the people to buy them. And they put on the auction block, the wife is sold in that direction, the father that way, a child that way, a child with a family broken up, whole community is broken up and sent to different places. When they have not reached the New World, have not reached the United States yet. They are now in the Caribbean islands because they've got to be trained to be slaves. You don't take a warrior, man or woman, and say you are now a slave. You've got to do something to those people to make them want to live so much as we do that they're willing to do anything. So what could you do? You could beat them. You could have starve them. You could treat them so mean that they want to live because they, as long as they're alive, they might be able to get out of this. You might say to them, move these logs from this place to this place. They don't understand what you're saying, never heard the language before. Move the logs, and they won't do it. And so you get something, you beat them. You start thinking, why is this person beating me? I haven't done anything. But I notice he points from here to here. So if I move this from there to there, he stops beating me. I have been conditioned. I want to live. Now we've conditioned you. We've sent you up to the New World, the United States of America, to begin work on the plantation. So you begin to work on the plantation. Your work starts from before the sun comes up, and it ends after the sun goes down. You become a very weary person. You die on that plantation. Soon you begin to have children, these small children here. When they're up to age 5, they're running through the bushes and playing with the butterflies. They can play with their master's children. They have a wonderful time. When they reach age 6, they become enslaved and work like an enslaved person full time. Their day starts from before the sun comes up, after it goes down. And the enslaved people, they can see freedom all around them. They knew it shouldn't be like this. And they begin to sing some sad songs. We call them spiritual today. Here is a sad song. This is a sad song. A mother sees her children being sold off. And she's heard about God by accident. She's heard about Jesus Christ by accident because she's not allowed to go into church, so she hears music come out of the church. Or maybe one of the slaves is the driver of the family to a church, so you can hear the music coming out of the church about God, about Jesus Christ, and about a Savior. And so they begin to learn these things. And they know, based on what they hear coming out of the window, even though the people don't act like that, there's got to be a better place than this. But the mother says to God, he calls God Lord. Lord, how come me here? I wish I never was born. He said, Lord, there ain't no freedom here. I wish I never was born. And Lord, they sold my children away. I wish I never was born. And she puts it into song, and it might sound like this. Lord, how come me here, Lord? How come me here, Lord? How come me here? I wish I never was born, Lord. There ain't no freedom here, Lord. There ain't no freedom here, Lord. How come me here? I wish I never was born, Lord. They sold my children away, Lord. They sold my children away, Lord. How come me here? I wish I never was born. I wish I never was born. I wish I never was born. Hey, we got to escape from this place. We got to find out a way to escape. It's very difficult because we do speak different languages. They don't allow us to talk to one another, but they love to hear us sing. We've got to put into our song a message that also talks about salvation, but it also talks about escape. What do you mean? Well, if I sing a song like this, it's going to have two messages. When the master hears it, he thinks we're talking about going to heaven. Somebody's going to die. What do you mean? Well, when you hear this song, I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to heaven when I die. Oh, yes, Lord. What are you singing about, Sam? Going to heaven when I die. Oh, well, I like that song. Sing it some more. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to heaven when I die. Oh, yes, Lord. Here's what Sam is singing about. Heaven meant Canada. When you die, you leave this world, but nobody was dying. Dying meant to run away from this world and go to the next world. So when he said, I'm going to heaven when I die, I'm going to heaven when I die, when he was really saying, I'm going to Canada when I run away, I'm going to Canada when I run away, I'm going to Canada when I run away, oh yes, Lord. You're going to Canada when you run away? Yes. How are you going to get there? You don't even know where Canada is. I heard that Canada's in the north. Well, how do you know how to get there? I heard what you do, especially at night. If it's a clear night, you look up in the sky and you see something like, they call it a Big Dipper. And the hand of the Big Dipper points to the North Star, or the Little Dipper, which points to the North Star. And you just keep running to the north. If you do that, you get all the way to heaven. And heaven is Canada. What is heaven called?
Canada.
Yes, you get all the way to heaven. The Big Dipper. But we can't call it the Big Dipper. If you call it the Big Dipper, the master will know you're trying to get away. But what can we call it that we can't call it the Big Dipper? We call it something else that grows many places in the world, especially in Africa. We call it a drinking gourd. A drinking gourd, yeah. A gourd like this, cut it in half, it looks like a drinking gourd. Looks like the Big Dipper. We'll sing a song about it. When the sun comes back and the first rail falls, follow the drinking gourd, follow the drinking gourd, follow the drinking gourd. And they would start singing a song. In fact, they had to learn and sing that song. And in the song, it tell you, not only do you follow the drinking gourd, but there's something else I want you to know about that song. What's that? There's an old man waiting to take you to freedom. That's in the song. How do you mean? There's an old man waiting to take you to freedom. Follow the drinking gourd. The old man, his name was Peg Leg Pete. A kid told me that's wrong with Peg Leg Joe. Use Pete or Joe, but he had a peg leg. He would leave a hole. He was a white man, old white man, had lost a leg in the Navy. He would come down to the South, take a job in different plantations, meet the enslaved people, some of them, and say, I'm going to help you to freedom, but you got to learn this song. What song is that? Follow the drinking gourd. It gives you directions. It tells you what time of year to run away if you can wait that long. It tells you what direction to go. And along the way, you're going to meet a wonderful woman. Who is that? Harriet Tubman. She's going to be a woman that will lead you to freedom. Harriet Tubman was an escaped slave woman. When she's about 12 years old, she was helping a black person to escape. The master got so mad, he picked up something and he threw it and it hit him in the head and it put a dent in her head and it caused her a problem with her health. She always fell asleep and she didn't know she was asleep. And she wanted to run away from us when she was young. She was afraid that she would fall asleep and they would capture her anyway. But she got bigger and bigger and stronger and stronger and decided to run away. And then she ran away. And she ran all the way to heaven. Where's that?
Yeah.
And she said, my people are still there. I got to go back and help them. And she went back after having escaped 19 times to the South to help free about 300 people. And they had a song for her to let the people know she was coming. She heard the song, she was a child, and she thought the song was speaking to her. The song was this one. Her name was, well, I'll tell you when I sing it.
When Israel was in Egypt land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go. Go down, they call her Moses. Moses, we're down in Egypt land, and you tell old Pharaoh, let my people go.
When the people heard that song, she's coming. And she would come down, all you enslaved people that want to escape, what is it, about 12? Okay, you just follow me now. You got to be quiet, and you got to keep those babies quiet. Feed them something to keep them quiet. Press them to your breast. Don't smother them, but you got to keep them quiet. And follow me. And she had a gun in her skirt, and they started going. And they went, she fell asleep. What's this? We're following her to freedom, and she's falling asleep. Maybe we should go back. We don't know where we're going for, and she's asleep. Let's go back. She always seemed to wake up, and she would pull out a gun and say to the person going back, you either go forward or you stay right here. The good news is she never shot anybody. She never shot anybody. And she had a favorite saying. Would you please say this with me? What Harriet Tubman used to say, I never
ran my train
off the track. And I never lost a passenger. Isn't that great? You're going to run away? You're going to run away? You know, as soon as you start running away, they're going to send the hound dogs after you. What are you going to do about those hound dogs? There's only one thing to do about hound dogs. You got to go in the water. You just run in the water so they can't smell your truck. You can't say that. No, they know what you're talking about. You're trying to escape. If you say, run in the water, they know you're trying to escape. Well, what can you say? You can't say anything. But we can sing a song. They love to hear us sing. But what's somebody going to sing that means running in the water?
Wade in the water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God going to trouble. The water. Wade in the water. Way in the water, children, way in the water.
God's going to trouble the water. And they get in the water and they start running to the north. And they have all kind of songs like Swing Low. How many people know Swing Low? Think of that as a song. People coming from the north down to the south, Swing Low. Coming for to carry me home. Could be a band of angels. All those abolitionists coming to help them. Coming for me. And they escape. And before I forget to say this, I always like to make sure I say, even if it's in the middle of the program, because sometimes we run out of time. those people that were brought over, the children of those people that were brought here against their will on those slave ships, in the hold of a slave ship, the children now going to outer space in the command module of a spaceship. Is this a great country or what? Is it?
Yes.
Is it?
Yes.
Boy, I almost didn't hear you. Maybe I should, is it?
Yes.
Well, the people contributed so many things to the country, know that. And we always run out of time with this story. But there's so much to be told. I hope this whets your appetite. Look at the total history. When we talk about African-American history, we always sing religious songs. I love it because in the school environment, I can sing all the religious songs I want. And because it's part of the story. And also, to whet your appetite, to learn that the black history is American history. Our country is so great. We have so many different cultures in our country. All of you sitting here have had your cultures stymied, as far as I'm concerned, because when you came to the country, your great-grandparents came to the country, don't speak that, you gotta speak American or something like that. Please, if you can, recapture that so that we can share it, not to separate it, but to share it. This story, Song of the Stories You're Reconciled By, is just that. I'd like to sing a closing song for, I think that's appropriate here. Mark and I have not practiced the song, but we want to sing it anyway, do it anyway. And Mark and I were, we have played before when I was up here, and we're going to just feel this song. It's called Precious Lord, Take My Hand. And we're just going to feel it how we feel. All right, Mark?
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, help me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on.
When my way take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
When the darkness
Okay. I'm going to hold you one more minute. I have to hold you 1 minute because you have to say this and say it as I say it and do what I do and go home and relax. Okay, you ready for this?
Yep.
Okay. This is called Be Like King for a Day. You ready for this? I will.
I will.
Now, that's good. From sun up.
From sun up.
Until sun down.
Until sun down.
Treat other people.
Treat other people.
As my friends.
As my friends.
I won't.
I won't.
Judge.
Judge.
Tease.
Tease.
Or hurt.
Or hurt.
I will respect.
I will respect.
The beauty.
The beauty.
In other people.
In other people.
I will be ready.
I will be ready.
To help.
To help.
And always to care.
And always to care.
For other people.
For other people.
We'll never die.
I will be
like Dr. King
for a day.
Every day. For the rest of my life.
Yay!
Good night and thank you.